Blog Talk Radio.
Then I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Picture perfect memories scattered. For the phone, 'cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever cross your mind. For me it happens all the time. If the quarter after one, I'm all alone and I need you now. But I lost all control and I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now.
Hi everyone, welcome to Daytime After Dark, Wednesday night, the 14th, yeah. I know, this is not a regular Friday night, but we have a special guest coming on. Sonia Sodi. I'm probably going to mess up her name, people, but let me anyway. Like I said, it's Wednesday night, and I hope everyone out there is, having a really good week and everything. And you know, it's so hot here in Seattle, it's not funny anymore. And so we are waiting for Sonia to call in, and I'm going to bring on my co-host for a moment. April.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Brian,
how are you?
Oh, good. Brian, do you know who area code?
It's 917, Carla.
917. Okay. We all see not here yet, so I do not want to be talking to myself.
Well, you Carla, know, I'm going to fill me in on what happened on Days of Our Lives today. I haven't watched it, and you're just killing me. So tell me what's happening.
I haven't watched it today, but all week. All I can say is Nick is dead, and I'm happy.
Well, I have a feeling he'll come back to life eventually. They always do.
No, not this time.
How many times has Stefano been killed? 1,000?
Yeah, but this time he was on the morgue. They put him on the table, and I don't think Blake wants to come back. Oh. Okay, now we have a guest. Okay, so I'm putting you guys on hold, and then I will bring you on one at a time.
Okay.
Okay, you guys know who? As Lucy Spalding on Guiding Light, and she was also on One Life to Live, and you know, all her other projects. So please welcome for the first time to Daytime After Dark, Sonia Sodi. Hi, Sonia.
Hi. Hi, everybody. How are you?
Good. I probably messed up your name. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It was close.
I've been practicing all day, and I'm like, she's going to kill me. I'm going to mess up her name, not on purpose, but just, you know. I loved you on One Life to Live. When you were on One Life to Live, I did not want you to go away. I was sad when you left.
Well, thank you, even though I was a little psycho.
Yeah, but psycho makes the best thing. People, I mean, I like it when they are psycho. I mean, you know, some of the best soap characters on soaps are villains or bad people, which I love. You know, the most psycho, I always say, the better, because when they are psycho, you either you love them for being psycho or you really just want them to die and go away.
So, and I like to think she was just a little disturbed. She had a tough upbringing, you know, so things just got a little off.
But, I feel sorry for you. I did. So people that don't know about you, because you haven't been in daytime in a while, would you let everyone know about Guiding Light and One Life to Live and all your background and everything?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned on Guiding Light, I played Lucy Cooper, eventually Spalding, because I got married to Alan Michael Spalding.
Yeah.
And I was also Buzz Cooper's daughter. He was a kind of crazy but super fun and lovable dad. And I came on the show looking for my trust fund for my that my mom apparently had left for me, and of course fell in love with Alan Michael. And then I kind of became a little bit of the victim of everything. That's what I always say. Because I was date raped, which was, you know, a very serious storyline, actually. And then I was kidnapped I was really stalked by the guy that date raped me, who came back in drag. It's this big Brent Marion storyline. So he came back, and of course I was the only one that didn't know that that was not who he was. But eventually I was kidnapped and held up in the lighthouse forever, and then I was rescued and had this big wedding, which we actually did down in Disney World in Florida. And
how fun.
And then I went, that was fun. That was really fun. That was a really cool thing. And I had this amazing dress with one of the longest trains, actually. In fact, it was even in that fashion museum restaurant that they used to have in New York, because it had the longest train of any wedding dress, except for maybe like Princess Di or something, but like on television. So that was kind of cool. And yeah, and then I was, I don't know, shipwrecked, and then this angel fell in love with me, and then I just left town. But I was in fires, and it seemed like everything that could go wrong went wrong. I always say that I should have been, like, in an insane asylum by the end of it. But Lucy was a trooper. She, like, just kept on fighting. She really was a spunky fighter who really, a survivor. And
so
I loved
did
it.
You... So did you want to leave, or did you, I mean, after all, everything in my character went through, what your character would just have gone through, I would say, yeah, I need some time off, please, or something, because just hearing that, you know, I lost Guiding Light from time to time, I will say that, but it was on the same time at General Hospital. I will be honest, people, okay? In those days, you did not have, you know, TiVos, and you could only tape one thing on the VCR, so. But I did watch Guiding Light, people, not just every day.
Yeah.
I know who you were, and I know the character you played, and, you know. So with Alan Spalding, were you with,
I was actually with Alan Michael, because Alan Spalding was father, so I was with Alan Michael. Yeah.
So who did he play? What actor?
Rick Hurst played Alan Michael.
Okay, yes. Okay, now I'm really jealous of you.
I was really so lucky. I mean, I have to say that about all of the Guiding Light cast, though. It really is an incredible cast of talented and really just kind, you know, generous actors. But I mean, yeah, Rick is probably one of the greatest actors you could ever work with. So, yeah, that was a really lucky break for me.
And probably having a time of your life kissing him. I mean, come on, people. Rick Hurst, everyone knows what a stud Rick Hurst is. Let's be honest, people out there. He's, you know, good looking, and he's a hottie, and you know, I'm jealous. I'm really jealous. So were you happy or sad when you found out Guiding Light was going off the air, or did you know? Or
I couldn't believe it. I was really shocked that it actually happened, because even when I was on, and for years even before I was on, people were saying that every year they would say it was going to get canceled. And, you know, they would tighten budgets and they would shift things and change schedules and whatnot, but somehow they always seemed to make it work and it never did get canceled. So when it became a reality, I was just so surprised. I thought, surely they're going to save it. Like, something's going to happen. They're going to renegotiate. They're not going to let the oldest show in you know, television broadcast history go at this point, would they? And it seemed like they were doing so many great things that were cost-effective and still had enough of an audience, at least of the target audience that they needed. So I just was, yes, I was sad, but I was mostly surprised.
Yeah, I think everyone was surprised, like, you know, because, you know, Guiding Light and At the Rotunda, my great-grandmother watched Guiding Light when it was on the radio, I think.
Yeah, right?
So it's like, when I told my grandma, she's like, no, you're kidding. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm dead on. You know, don't know what CBS was thinking, but, you know, it was. And then, so what did you do from your break from Guiding Light? What did you do after Guiding Light? Did you go right to One Life to Live? Or?
You know, I went faster to One Life to Live because Guiding Light was an amazing job, and, you know, I was very, very happy there. I did choose to leave because at the time, I wasn't married, I didn't have kids, I didn't have anything holding me there or any real reason, and so I just thought, well, if there's ever a time to go out and see what else you might be able to do, now is it. So it was a really difficult decision because it's a fabulous job with an amazing cast. But I did decide to go. And then I was off for about a year, maybe a little less than that, when Jill Phelps, who was the same executive producer of Guiding Light, had moved to One Life to Live and had called and said, you know, would you come to One Life to Live? And at the time I was like, I didn't really leave Guiding Light to go back on another soap. I really left to go see what else I might be able to do. But she kind of worked it out and made it an offer that worked for me in terms of just allowing me to go do other projects if they came up. Because, you know, soap contracts are great in terms of for them, but they don't always let you out to do other projects. And so I wanted a little bit of that freedom. And it was great because I did get out. There was one point when I was doing a movie at the same time I was on One Life, and that was lucky. But that was why I went out. One Life to Live,
yeah.
But it was pretty quick after. It was about a year after.
So for everyone that doesn't know what your character on One Life to Live, or remember, because, you know, it's been so long, can you let people know who you were playing on One Life to Live?
Sure. On One Life to Live, I was Nurse Barbara, and as I always say, Psycho Nurse Barbara.
Yeah.
She really did have a good heart. She just was confused. But I came on. Actually, I was I had been raped, although they did not go into the rape storyline there. It was more a setup that possibly Roger was guilty again. So they kind of moved beyond that storyline relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I became involved. I was a nurse, and I became involved with Kevin Buchanan. And
yep.
Totally fell head over heels in love with him. But he was married to Cassie, and I was so... But his younger brother, Joey, was kind of in love with me, so it became this little bit of a triangle thing. But I don't know, in the end, I was going to go just kill Kevin because he didn't want me, and I ended up getting the other brother, who was a cop, and so then I was wanted for murder. And my father was a senator, and yeah, it was, and the one of the police chiefs, also played by John Bolger. We had a history, but I guess at one point we had dated, and maybe I had a little anger issue or something, but I had, I don't know, stabbed him something. There was a little bit of a scar that he showed on one episode. So there was sort of, I guess, a little history of some mental issues there. But I ended up in jail.
Just a little. I mean, not a lot. I mean, you could have done worse. I mean, come on. You could have locked
someone
in the closet.
There are people on soaps that have done a lot worse, yes.
I mean, yeah, you could have locked someone in a closet. You know,
I think I did try to kill Kevin's wife. I did do that.
Oh, yeah, actually. You did. But
I did. I did.
But you were kind of doing. But, you know, because whenever I'm washing soaps, you know, I'm sorry, it does, you know, it bring my evil side up. And I'm like, okay, could I actually get away with that without going to jail? And, like, I do think it was, like, for a second, I'm like, am I as crafty as she is today? Or will I just get sent? You know, I mean, because I'm like, you know, especially with you, when I was watching, I'm like, oh, no, she's not going to go there. No. I know it sounds crazy. I talk to the TV like it really understands me. I know people it doesn't, but I'm like, people, don't do that. This is not a good idea, you know. you know, but, I mean, I wish you would go back on daytime, actually, because I really, everyone enjoyed you on there, and, you know. You know, there's only four soaps left. So,
there are. I know.
So how do you
actually,
feel
I just
about...
did a play with Heather Tom, and we were talking about it, because I think the four soaps that are going are doing really well. You know what? I never say never. I would, you know, if something came up that worked out, I would absolutely consider it. I have, you know, nothing but appreciation and, you know, gratitude towards my time on the soap. It was great fun. It was a great experience. I enjoyed both of them. It was fun to play two very opposite characters. And, yeah, I would totally go back to a soap if the opportunity came up that was right.
So how do you feel, like, the only two soaps you were on to both get canceled? I bet, you know, if it was me, I would go, okay, was it my – no, I'm only kidding. But in my head, I'm like, was it my fault? Did I do something?
Well, they were canceled after I was on. See, I should have been on, and maybe it would have been canceled. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, people, we only kidding, people. But no,
No. You know what, they were canceled afterwards. I was just sad, and truthfully, I was sad also for New York, because both of those were new. All the soaps in New York were gone then, and I just thought it was really a shame to see that medium disappear from the city.
Yeah, it was. It was like, poor New York.
That's a bummer.
How was being on, being in that play with Heather Tom? What was that like, and what was the play and everything?
Oh, it was great fun. It's a play. I haven't done it actually in a number of years, but I have done it over the course of a number of years with her, and the third character has often changed. But it's a show called Vanities. It used to be the longest running off-Broadway show in New York. I'm not sure if it still holds that. There might have been some that have passed it now, but it ran for a long time, was super popular. It's really funny. It's a comedy. It's three women, and they track us from graduating high school, graduating college, to 4 years later. And my character is like, she's the one that everything has to be right. They're Southerners or from Texas. And I'm in love with one guy and, you know, the entire play. And then in the end, I end up being like a total drunk, and I get, you know, I'm just completely drunk on champagne, and the third, like, get together after not having been together for 4 years with the girls. But and I talk a lot in this play, so it's a lot of lines. But it's a really fun. It's a period piece, so it's going back to the 60s and 70s. So we've got these great wigs that we wear, And it's the set is very simple, but there are three vanities. And we each sit up there. We actually get ready on set. So we do our hair and our makeup, and then you kind of go around in the back, get dressed, and then come back around. So you never leave the stage through the whole play, which is cool. And then in between each act, you do the same thing. You take off one wig, I put on another wig, and the audience can sit and watch if they want, or they can, you know, go have an intermission. But it's unusual in that regards. And but it's fun. It's a really funny play. And it was really, I hadn't done it in about 4 years. So it was great fun to be back up on stage again. And Heather's brilliant. I mean, I don't know how she does it because she works so much, but she never forgets the lines of this play. She knows everybody's, my lines, the other person's line, her lines. So it's very comforting to be on stage with her because you always feel like, well, somebody will save us if I forget it. And she's just a really talented actress. And this time her sister did it, Nicole. So that was fun.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. It was great. It was a great dynamic. I think we all three worked really, really well together. And we did it in Florida. It was in Fort Lauderdale, actually over spring break, which was kind of fun too. So... yeah, the whole experience was really, really great. But it used to be we would fly into a city, do it, and then maybe we wouldn't do it again for another couple of weekends. They were called run-outs. So if a theater in a particular city had an opening for a weekend or a week, then we would come in and we could fill that space in their program. So it wasn't like a four-week run of it, but it was scattered, and we've done it all over. We did it in Canada, we've done it in the Midwest, we've done it in the South. I mean, we've had some really fun times with it. It's a great show.
That is so awesome. Well, I better bring my co-host on one at a time before, you know, they, you know, do things to me, like lock me in the closet forever. Okay, I'm bringing my partner in crime on. Hey, Cecilia.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good, good. How are you tonight?
Great.
And thank you for coming on to our show, our crazy
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
We do appreciate fun. It. Yes. We're like, we do it on Fridays, but it's, you know, I know how busy some people are, so it's like, whenever you're free, we can do it anytime.
Yes, that's how we all.
Like, pick a time and we can do it, you know. So, we know how busy,
I know that's
you
what
know,
Brian
are.
Said. When are you available? I was like, well, that's a broad question. I don't know. When do you need me to be available? So, no. It's very nice that you're flexible like that. That's
yeah, well, we could do it too. We could do it 2 o'clock in the morning if someone ever. I'm just seeing how many people we would get at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Try it out one time and see. Who knows? You might get a whole new set of people.
Oh, God.
Yes. And like Harley, I grew up with the NBC and ABC soaps, but when I went over to my friend's house, all their mothers watched CBS. So that's how I kind of got into the CBS one. So, and with Guiding Light, it did come on at the same time as General Hospital. And I was in school and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
But I do remember Lucy and all the... I was like, oh, my God, can this girl, like, get a break? Because it felt like, it's like, if it wasn't one thing, it's like you would get out of one thing and it ended up in another thing. It was like, okay, give her a break somewhere in between. Pick on somebody else. I'm surprised your character didn't go crazy.
I'm surprised she didn't either, actually. That might have been next if I'd stayed, because she went through the ringer. She experienced a lot.
Yes. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, oh, my goodness, gracious child. It's like,
but that's what makes it a soap, right? It's fun.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was, you know, and then... Of course, like, everybody knew except for you, and I'm like, okay, somebody clue her in here. Like, clue her in.
I did. I used to get notes from people like, be careful. Brent is, or Marianne is really Brent, you know, like, don't you realize that? Like, don't do anything more with her. You know, I was really, it would really take it very serious, but were really warning me. I think even Buzz or Justin, my dad, used to get notes too. Like, would you please tell Lucy not to hang out with Marion anymore? She's really in trouble. You need to protect her. So, I know, it was really sad. I was the only one that didn't really get it.
It's like, you do. I know you're smart. Come on.
Can't you tell that she looks more like a man? I don't know. Although, he was pretty amazing. He really did a phenomenal job.
And he was. He was really good. Like, I would have to say, he was really good. But yes, and I do remember that wedding. And that train was, like, super long. Like, if you haven't seen it, it's probably on YouTube somewhere, so go, like, find it.
Yeah, I wonder.
Lucy,
yeah, okay.
And then 20 minutes later, the train, the end of the train. It's like, I'm not kidding. It's like, is this ever going to end? I think Lucy was at the end of the aisle before the train was going. It was, like, super, it was gorgeous. Like you said, it was a very gorgeous drive.
It was very pretty.
And how long did it take to do those scenes, you know? Because I know that everybody says, like, big events take forever to shoot.
Yeah.
And
it took a long time. However, we were shooting at Disney World, and we were doing it at night. It was a night shoot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I was doing my vows at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning. We were like, okay, I love you, I marry you. Yes, okay, goodbye.
I love you, but I'm going to sleep.
Exactly. But so we had time constraints. There was only so long we could go because we had to finish before the light came up or the sun came up and the people wanted to enter the park. So I do remember they were starting to get tight against the clock, and we were supposed to do some scenes, which we did do around Epcot, but they really flew through those. It was like a one take scene. Like, you better get it right because we need to get this on.
We gotta go.
But so I guess right. I mean, I think we started. Gosh, I think we started at like 8 and we finished at 8. It was probably about a 12-hour day, maybe a little longer. I think it was longer. I think we started at like 6 and we finished at 8 the next morning. It was a long night.
Oof, I couldn't even do it. Oh,
and that's rare because you rarely shoot nights on a film. Thing, but you don't usually do night shoots on a soap. But because this was a unusual location shoot, I think some of the other soaps have done locations, but Guiding Light really hadn't done one at that point, so it was one of the first.
Because you were on in the early 90s, if for people, it's like 93 to like 97, so it's like early 90s to later 90s.
Yeah,
so it was. It was a big deal, and I'm like, Disney World, awesome. And I remember, because I was over at my friend's house, and I was like, oh, my gosh, she's getting married in Disney World. I want to get married in Disney World. That is so cool.
You'll have to see your vows at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, 9, you know? I'm like, hey, this is cool. But, yes, and I loved the crazy nurse on One Life to Live, and she was crazy. But like I said, you know, like I said, the crazier the better for me. I love crazy people because I kind of relate to crazy people because I'm kind of crazy in the phone way. You know, no shooting people. But I did. I enjoyed it, you know, with you and Kevin and then you and Joey. So it's like, oh, my goodness. So my question is, who, because I cannot remember because there's been so many Joeys and Kevins through One Life to Live, who played them? Remember?
Oh, thanks.
I can't even think because there's been like 10, like literally like 10 Kevins.
That's really, really terrible that I should know exactly who they were. There were two Kevins. Kevin Stapleton was one of them, and then there was another one that followed.
And Joey was Donnie.
It wasn't Nathan.
Nathan was the other brother who I killed.
Was Nathan a Joey?
Nathan, the same guy that is on Castle. Help me, I cannot think of it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he was on until later on.
Nathan Feely.
Yeah.
Nathan, yeah.
He might have been on later.
I don't know. Like I said, there's like so many, and it's like, I have to think. It's like, which Joey was it? Which Kevin was it?
It's a good question, and it's a little embarrassing that I don't have the names at my fingertips. Kevin I still run into occasionally here in New York, but I haven't seen Don in a long time. I used to run into him years ago in California. But I'm not sure what he's up to. So,
and that's so cool that the play and stuff. And I love Heather. I love Heather Tom. She's awesome, and she's so great. And I love her sister Nicole. And again, I've been watching Nicole since she was like a little kid on The Nanny. She was on The Nanny as one of the kids. She was the oldest daughter
for a long time.
Yes. So,
she's very funny. She's a very funny person. So, but they're pretty different. I mean, they really are, but they're great.
And their brother David is on Y&R now.
Doing really well. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's like, they're all acting in that family. They're
and
all
I think
great.
Heather's got her son in it now, too. She's like, put him to work.
Yes, her son, actually, Sadie's son is Heather's real life.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
He's so cute.
He's
a cute little baby.
He's adorable. Yeah, he really is.
So, when you do have free time, because I know you're a wife and a mother, and I know how busy that is, because I am a single mom, so I'm super busy all the time.
Yeah.
But,
imagine.
I'm busy. What do you do on your, like, on your free time? Do you go hang out, or?
Well, right now I'm actually starting a new business. Something called that's going to be launching actually about next week. It's called Motisize. It's a motivational exercise, and it's an integration. It's an exercise program, like an exercise. It'll be a DVD eventually that I just shot. But it integrates mindset tools, so it's like a mindset reset. Because there's all this really cool brain research now that shows when you exercise, a protein is released. And it creates these new neural pathways in your brain. So you can actually rewire your brain. And so part of the exercise is to get that happening, is to sort of ignite that power and rewire your brain for success. So you get fit and you fit body, fit mind. And so
I need that.
it's really cool. It's really different. And people have really been responding well to it. They're just like, God, it feels so incredible. They come up with really amazing ideas during it. And you kind of, even people who don't like exercise, like it because it really takes your mind off of it and it gives you something else that's very positive to focus on.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of visualizations, goal setting, affirmations, and it's all a process. But it's a workout. I mean, it's not yoga. People, I think, thought mind body. It's going to be very docile, and it's not. You'll sweat. So it's both. So you really do get a good cardio workout at the same time. You're really rewiring your brain for success. So I've been developing that, which has been a really, really fun and exciting thing to do.
Oh, that's awesome! That's awesome.
Yeah. So definitely stay tuned to that. MotisizeFitness.com would be cool. Check it out. We'll be launching the website next Wednesday.
And we will spread the news for you, too.
Yes, so, we will.
Thanks. That would be great. We'd love that. Yeah. And then the other thing I did right before that, I was doing these women's empowerment adventures. So I would take people out on these adventures in New York. They were day adventures in New York, and tie it to a workshop. So we did a wall, like climbing the wall. So it was about climbing the wall of your life. We did a kayak trip to the Statue of Liberty, and that was all about finding flow in your life. And then the last one we just did was a trapeze, which was really fun, and that was about letting go, taking a leap.
And how far off the ground were you?
We were high.
Yeah.
High. It's a lot higher than you think.
I'm over here going, that sounds like fun, but no, I don't do heights. So I'm like, 3 feet off the ground, I'm good.
There's a net to catch you. It's a great metaphor. I've always been into adventures and doing these things, skydiving, bungee jumping, all those kinds of crazy things. And I've really learned, huge life lessons out of all of them. And so I just thought, what a cool thing to be able to share that with people. And since Guiding Light and since One Life, since I had my, bigger acting days, I've also become a certified life coach. So it's using those skills and kind of putting them into action.
That's awesome. That's always good to hear. Normal, actors and actresses and just normal people, how they do help other people when they learn lessons and stuff in life, and they help other people. It's nice. So
yeah.
That's what I try to do. It's like, been there, done that kind of motto. Like, I'm just going to try to help you out so you don't do the
right
thing
exactly.
I have done.
Exactly, right? No point in creating a bad wheel.
I'm trying to
get on a better wheel.
I
enjoy that. And I've also been speaking. So I do a lot of motivational speaking. And last year I was actually the president of the National Speakers Association in New York. So I've kind of been on that. So that's what I've been doing with my spare time.
But sounds like me. I'm always doing something. Do you have any free time? Nope.
Right, exactly. Spare time, what is that?
What is that? It's like if I sit down, I'll fall asleep.
Right, exactly.
It's like, that's how on the go I am. But... thank you for talking and coming on, and I'm going to let one of the other co-hosts come on.
Absolutely.
I'll know who's coming on next.
Brian. Yeah, if we don't let Brian on, I will probably be dead. I will let Brian on. But I was reading on your website or whatever, you love riding horses. Am I right?
Yeah. I do. Years ago I did a pilot for Bonanza. They were trying to bring back the Bonanza series, and so I was cast on that. And I had learned how to ride English when I was a kid, but I didn't really, I didn't ride a lot. But I had to ride for this pilot, so I took a lot of horseback riding lessons. I remember I was working with Ben Johnson. He was a really well-known Western actor, and he was just like, it's just like dancing. You just got to flow. As I'm like bouncing around the seat, I was like, yeah, it doesn't feel like dancing right about now. But I did get the hang of it, and I do really enjoy it, so...
I mean, I grew up, I had my own horse. I loved it. I spent my ankle four times riding my horse, but my horse would buck me off. Whenever he would see a cat or a dog or some other animal, I got bucked off my horse. It was not funny. I'm like, okay, horse. I'm not going to let you on anymore, buy any more animals ever if I want to stay alive. But I am going to bring on Brian.
Great.
Brian, you're on.
Hello,
Brian.
How are you?
I'm great. Nice to talk to you again.
That's good. It's good to talk to you too. I got a couple of questions for you. I don't have many, but I have a couple. I'll first of all admit that Guiding Light, I watched bits and pieces of through the years. Off and on. I know the lady that played on, I remember the lady that played on Going One Life to Live is Echo. I think her name was Ariana Zucker or something like that. That played Echo on One Life to Live.
Okay. I don't know her.
I can't remember but she was real popular. She was the main star of the show. She was married to another guy on there, but I can't remember what his name was either. But my questions for you is, did you ever have the chance to work with the characters of Jonathan and Tammy on Guiding Light?
I didn't.
No, that was way before her time. I mean, that was after her time.
Okay.
Okay,
my next question, did you ever have any scenes on One Life to Live with Allison Perkins? Because I know you said you was crazy, Nurse Betty. I mean, Barbara, and you said
right.
So, I mean, did you ever have any scenes with her?
I didn't. I don't think she was on when I was on, although I know of her. I didn't work with her.
Yeah,
I can't remember. What character did she play on One Life to Live? But I know
She was Allison Perkins. She was in the Looney Bin at St. Anne's. She always used to break out of the Looney Bin with
I think their time like was missed by a year or two, Brian. I really think so.
I feel like it was close because I do know that name, but I know that I never worked with her. Yeah.
Okay. If there was one soap opera that you could have worked on besides Guiding Light or One Life to Live, which soap opera would you have chosen?
Well, you know, I don't know whether this... I actually started my whole thing with trying to get on to General Hospital. Because everyone said that I looked like Felicia. And at the time, I have to say, I really do.
You do.
And so I took a picture of myself that looked like a picture of her, and I sent the two together. That was, you know, one of her in a magazine, and I sent it to Mark Teschner, who was casting General Hospital, and I said, I think she needs a little sister. And he called me in, and he's like, you know, I get these things often. He's just like, but you really actually look like her. So
that's
at the time,
amazing.
It didn't kind of fit into that storyline, but very shortly after, she was going to leave, so they called me in to replace her, and then she decided she didn't want to leave, and so I didn't replace her. And then I came into audition for another part, and I screen tested, and I didn't get it because I looked too much like her. And then I ended up getting Guiding Light. So that was my history with General Hospital. But I guess there is some part of me that's like, oh, it would be really cool to have done it that was the beginning of the whole kind of soap opera thing. And it's one that I haven't done, but I've watched a lot of, and I know a lot of the people, and I tried to get onto, and for whatever reasons, just couldn't do it. So.
Well, we can help you with that. We really can help you with that if you want help with that, because I can make it happen, you know?
You can make it happen?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I think I can. No, just because, you know, I was looking at your picture the other day. I'm like, no, wait, see, no, because you look so much like her. I'm like, wait a moment. And I didn't want to ask Brian because that would be really stupid of me. And I'm like, no, this is not Sonia. This is Kristen from, you know, General Hospital, Felicia. Because I love you. Yeah, and, you know, I'm like, okay, fine, you know. But you do look a lot alike.
We do look a lot alike. I mean, I have to admit, there were times when I would, you know, pass by the newsstands and I'd see a picture of her and I'd think, is that me? You know, and I'd be like, no, wait, that's not me. I didn't do that cover. She did it. You know what I mean? So obviously when I looked at it, I knew. But in passing, in a quick look, even I thought so, then yeah. We definitely have a resemblance. And I think we even sound a little bit alike.
Yeah, y'all kind of
do
sound a little bit alike. I kind of do.
Yeah. Yeah.
My next question for you is, how's your relationship been through the years with Agnes Nixon?
You know, I never had a direct relationship with her at all.
Uh-huh.
So it's really hard to say. I kind of know of her as Agnes Nixon, you know?
Yeah.
So she's sort of like, that's Agnes Nixon, you know, but I don't even know that I've ever actually talked to her. So
Oh, wow. You're
kind of sheltered from the writers and head writers. At least we were. I feel like that might be changing now a little bit. I think from what I hear, some of the people, at least on the LA soaps, they do actually have an interaction. But they almost went out of their way to make sure we didn't have any interaction. They just didn't want us influencing anybody.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I guess I could see it go both ways. Like, on one hand, I think there probably would be huge value even for the writers to have that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I can also see the writers, you know, would be completely bothered by every actor who wants a certain story to go a certain way, and that might get a bit much for them. And, you know, they're working really hard to put these scripts out as fast as they can, and if they have to deal with, you know, 40 actors telling them how to do their job, that's not so great either. So
yeah.
I understand both. There probably is a middle ground that's the right way to go.
My next question for you, is there any ribs or jokes that you can tell us that happened behind the scenes on Guiding Light or One Life to Live that kind of stands out to you?
Jokes? God. I'm sure there must be something. But I can't really think of anything. I know people have asked me, you know, what's one of the funniest things. I don't know if it's really funny, but there was a baby that I used to work with on Guiding Light. And I had this really nice, beautiful scene of, oh, you're my baby niece, and I'm so happy to meet you, and I'm really excited. And it was, like, really this sweet, tender thing. And then the baby looks straight into camera and, like, spits, like, projectile vomiting. Okay, that's obviously the impact my character has on
you.
And, you know,
hilarious.
The funniest thing was they kept it because they couldn't get the baby. The baby was sick. They couldn't get her to do it again, so they ended up keeping that shot.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
So I heard about that one a lot. And then actually later, I think it was like a year later, I was babysitting this poor baby and the house like burned down. And it was, so I was like, don't leave Lucy with any kids because that's not a good thing.
what was your favorite TV show that you've ever appeared on?
My favorite TV show that I ever appeared on? Gosh, you know, I think there are different ones for different reasons. You know, you sort of become attached to the characters. Obviously, something like A Guiding Light, it was my first soap. It was a great character. I played a lot of different things, had a lot of experiences on there, and it afforded me a lot of outside experiences. Like, I was just telling somebody, that was One Life to Live. I shouldn't say that for Guiding Light then. It was baseball, but we played on the Yankees field with the Yankees. It's like, cool. That's pretty cool to be able to do that. And that was all just because of the soap opera, and it was a charity thing, and it all just kind of worked out. And I did my first triathlon because of Guiding Light. They were sending some people from the show to Jamaica. And it was a lot of very, really fun, cool experiences. So in some ways, I don't know, that might be hard to say that's my favorite, but it's one of my favorite just because it was such a transformative experience, and I did it for the longest period of time and worked with really great people, and it was just fun on air and off air. It was a great challenge, and probably, you know, whenever
you have a serious storyline, like a rape storyline, I took that very, very seriously and did a lot of research and spoke to a lot of people, and it'll, you know, you do it as much as you, as well as you can, just because you do.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of talk shows around that and helping with giving out rape hotlines and whatnot so that people could get help.
That's wonderful.
I think it's really important, and I don't even know that I realized the impact until I got a letter from a girl from college who had said, you know, who was just thanking me, and she's just like, I got raped the same day your character got raped. And when you got help as a character, I decided it was time for me to go get help. And I was like, whoa. I mean, it still gives me chills when I think of it, because it's just the impact that that has is huge, you know. So
I bet that touched a lot of lives, you know, just that one character. I mean, I bet that touched so many lives.
I think it does. And you know, I know they've done serious storylines on other soaps, and I think it's an important thing, because it helps people connect to something, and it helps people get help. And it makes them not maybe perhaps feel alone. And, I mean, there's some, unfortunately, very not great things that happen out there. And this is a way of healing, trying to make it better. And that's important.
I've got only two more questions for you, and I'll go ahead and wrap my part of the interview up. My last two questions, how was it being on Baywatch?
I had a great time on Baywatch. It was fun. It was funny because actually I didn't initially have to wear a bathing suit. I was like, I think I might be the only woman on Baywatch who's not wearing a bathing suit. But then they called me back and they're like, hey, would you do these other extra shoots? I'm in a bathing suit. So I did my whole bathing suit scene. but I had a really great experience. It was fun. Everybody was, you know, nice. I was an ex-wife of David Hasselhoff on the show, and he was very gracious and very, very nice. It was a freezing cold day, and a lot of other people were in bathing suits freezing, and he was, you know, really just nice about, like, going and getting robes and towels and handing them off to people. And I thought, you know, I know he's got some issues in his life, but he was a good guy, and I've got nothing but positive things from my experience to say about him.
That's awesome. And my last question for you is, do you think there's any chance that you could put word into Cassidy Pipe about possibly appearing on our show in the future? We would love to have her.
Sure, I'd be happy to. She actually lives not that far from me. I haven't seen her in a little while, but occasionally I run into her, but I could send her a something note. I'd be happy to.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you for your time and your interview, Sonya. Thank you for
that interview. Absolutely. Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, we are going to bring on April.
Hi, Ellie. Welcome to the show. I'm here,
Hi.
Carly.
Hi.
I know. I was just being funny.
Well, I have an interesting question. What did you have for dinner tonight?
What did I have for dinner? My dinner was not that exciting tonight. I had a salad with tomatoes, avocado, some pine nuts, and then I'm really into raw chocolate these days, so I've got, like, five different kinds of raw chocolate, and my daughter and I, like, you know, slivered off a little piece of every one of them.
Well, I'm a chocolateaholic, so that works for me.
Yeah, me too.
I don't usually ask that, but I was thinking what the heck to have for dinner, so I thought, well, I'm trying to get some ideas in my head, so I just thought, well, I thought I'd ask you what you had for dinner this evening. So
yeah,
that was
not
idea.
The most creative response for tonight, but that's actually what I got home late tonight, so and I had mostly I had kale and mushrooms over brown rice for lunch, if that does anything for you.
Well, actually, that sounds very good. Thank you. I'll think about that. I definitely like the chocolate part, that's for sure.
Try raw chocolate, too. I don't know. It makes me feel like I'm eating something healthier, really.
I'm embarrassed to say I pride myself on being a chocolateaholic, but what the heck is raw chocolate?
Yeah.
I know. It's not as processed. There's no, like, sugar in it. It's sweetened by other natural sweeteners, and it's supposed to be healthier.
Does it taste as good as real chocolate, or what's your opinion on that?
I think it depends on which one you get. Yeah. But, yes. So you have to try them all is basically what I'm saying. That way you'll find the ones that you really like. at least that was my excuse. Yes, it does, actually. And I think one of the things that I do like about it, because I love chocolate too, and I could eat box of it. But this one's, I think because it's not processed and it doesn't have just plain, you know, white sugar, which, while that tastes really good, it also makes you just, you know, crave it and need more, like, you know, you're a drug addict or something. And so this doesn't necessarily have that impact. It kind of, like, satisfies the chocolate thing without leaving you with that, oh, my God, I need another piece or I'm going to die.
I hear you there.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. Now I'm thinking about having chocolate for dinner since we were talking about chocolate. I think I'll forget the salad and go get me a donut after the show's over. Anyway, well, I'm sure you didn't want to discuss, you know, what we had for dinner.
It was a surprise question.
I never do a show when you're hungry. This always happens to me. I start thinking about food when I go last. And I just thought, well, you know, I need some ideas, so why not throw it out there? But I definitely like the chocolate, so I think I'm going to skip dinner and go straight to dessert. But anyway, looking over your credentials, you've had an amazing career. My question was to you, you have done prime time as well as soap operas, The Guiding Light, One Life to Live, Baywatch. Which do you prefer as an actress is harder or easier to do? Do you have a preference? Do you prefer prime time or do you prefer daytime?
I mean, I think I like daytime for the pace. You know, it's fast, it moves. And that's, I kind of enjoy that. I think in terms of projects, then I would almost say would be film, because I really love the beginning, middle, and end of a thing, and being able to do the whole thing in completion where soaps never end, even prime time almost never ends, you know. I like that. And I love being on location. I just think that's fun and cool. And movies often are on location as opposed to being on a set. So probably film would be my first. And then I have to say I really love the pacing of daytime. I think it's, you know, you don't have as much. It's completely contrary to film. That's not hurry up and then wait. And, you know, you're doing 60 pages a day instead of 8 or 4, depending upon the budget of the film. But, I think.
Right,
that's
I know when they do movies, is it difficult? Because I understand they don't shoot beginning, middle, end. You could be shooting the end first or the middle. Is that
very
difficult?
Very often, and it is difficult. It really is difficult because once you've been doing it for however many weeks that you've been doing it, you evolve, you develop, you've developed stronger relationships with the people that you're playing with. So if you have to shoot the end first, which I have had to do, that's tough to conjure all of that up organically and naturally. I think they kind of know that, so I think those big, serious final scenes, they really do go out of their way to try to put towards the end at least from the middle to the end, so you're not starting your first day on something like that. But that's definitely a challenge. Yeah.
I would think so, because in a soap opera, you're following a day-to-day story. And I would think
it
would be very challenging as an actress to, you've read the script, you've memorized your lines, I would presume from beginning, you know, middle, end, and then to have to do the ending and the beginning must be very hard, you know, to get the emotional impact that you have on a soap. You know, you're doing the same story, different stories, but on a daily basis, so it's ongoing and continuing. So I would think that's very difficult as an actress and very challenging to do that, especially emotionally, especially
definitely,
when you're experiencing soap opera.
I think it takes a lot more pre pre-preparation for it, because you really have to know the arc and where you want to go, where you want to start and where you want to go. You know, you got to leave some room for openings of whatever's going to happen naturally, but you really have to think that through very solidly.
Right. Now, I know that you, like I said, you've done TV, primetime, daytime movies. Is there any, what do? When you have an emotional, angry scene? Do you have a ritual that you do to prepare for, to get yourself in character? What do you to do that?
So funny. I had an acting teacher once say, because somebody was complaining about they were bringing up something with their father or somebody, some family member, and they were just like, oh, am I going to have to do this like every day, every time I have to have that feeling for the rest of my career? And she's just like,
right.
I've made an entire career out of one person. And so, I think there are definitely key feelings or emotions that can trigger things. But they do change. They do change as you grow and as you have different experiences, and something might, you know, everybody's got their key life experiences, I think, that you can think about at any moment in time, and it's going to conjure an emotion. And so those tend to be the go-to. If you have something more recent that's a little fresher, a little rawer, you might use that. But, yeah, you definitely have your kind of go-to places.
Right. Do you find that when you've had an emotionally draining scene, that at part, when you've shot the scene, at the end of the day, you're going home to deal with kids, your everyday life, is it hard to get out of character and just bounce back into being a mom or a wife or whatever's going on in your life?
I think it is. I know some people who can flip in and out like it's nothing. I've always kind of admired that. But for me, it takes a little bit longer for me to just kind of unravel. And usually I'll go exercise or go do something that will just physically change how I feel. And then I can come back pretty easily. But to go from one to the next, there's definitely a carryover of it. It doesn't just go away immediately, especially if it's really emotional and you're, like, prepping for it and you're dragging up all this crap, you know, and then you got to go do it. I'm not as good at just turning around and being done.
Well, for sure. Do you find that being that you were the same character for quite a long time, that did you have any experience that you were typecast or stereotyped, or were they only offering you parts because you played the character so long? Did you ever have that situation happen in your experience with your career?
To some extent, but I think it was on a broader thing. It was a little bit more of a, well, she's been on soap, therefore she can't do this. So I had it more, or, you know, she's too soapy, you know, and it's
right.
Like if you had just done something else, they would have said you were too something else-y, you know. So I think, especially when there was a change from sort of the soap to comedy, that definitely, like, well, she's a soap actress, she doesn't do comedy. But
right.
So there was a little bit of that there, I think, that I had to kind of play against.
You know, and I think that interpretation is so wrong, because with soap, especially the type of characters that you've played, I mean, you have so much emotion and everything's from day to day. I think soap opera actors and actresses work harder, and I think there's not a better experience you can get for movie acting. I mean, for example, if you're on a comedy, you're strictly doing comedy. I mean, the things they put the soap characters through, the action, the emotion, the drama, the lust, I mean, soap opera characters are more qualified to do movies than anybody, because, number one, the story's changing, especially what your character went through. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like, hello. I mean, soap opera actors don't have the basic thing to do a two-hour movie, honey. I don't know who does. That's my opinion, especially some of the stuff these characters go through.
I completely agree with you. I second, third, fourth, fifth that. I really, really do. And some of the best actors I know are soap actors, really talented people. And they're just so they're really professional. You know what I mean? Like, the demands are so high. You know, I remember going onto a movie set and someone's just like, oh, my God, I can't believe we have to memorize 5 pages. And I was like,
oh, really? I know.
I was like, try 55, you know, because
I hear
nothing.
You. And that's so, 365 days a year, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, I know all actors work hard, but I think soap opera workers are one of the, you know, actors are the most hard, demanding jobs that there is, in my opinion.
I definitely agree. I definitely do. So I think it's part of the reason why the stigma has gone away, and there's just so much crossover right now. People realize that it's just not the way it is. You know, if you're a good actor, you're a good actor. If you're not, you're not. You know, you're right for this role, you're not right for the role, and sort of what you've done is less important, or the kind of work that you've done is less important.
Right. Now, you have an amazing career. What is your most memorable, or do you have a favorite scene or storyline that you can recollect throughout the years that, you know, you're most proud of? Which one would that be?
I mean, I think I definitely was proud of the rape storyline for sure. I think I was also really proud of the One Life to Live, the part where I start to confess, and that was probably... Sorry, one of the most challenging times, because I was actually shooting all of these confession scenes to this murder. It was really emotional stuff. And I was also shooting a movie in California. So I was, like, doing red eyes, and then I'd shoot the movie, and then I'd do a red eye back, or, like, I'd fly there, and then I'd do the red eye back, and come in, and then I would have to shoot, like, all of these massive emotional scenes.
Right.
And so that was really, really challenging, but in some ways I think it brought out some of my best stuff because it was just so on. I love doing this play that I just did. I think that, you know, especially coming from the, oh, she's a soap person, doesn't do comedy, to be able to do a comedy live is a blast. And I'm definitely proud, and that's been really, really, really fun.
I think it's wonderful when you can enjoy and have passion for what you're doing, you know, if you believe it, and have a variety of projects. I think that's wonderful, especially for soap opera actors and actresses. You know, a lot of times it's such a hard job, like Allison Freeman was quoted as saying, since she was 16 years old, she gets 2 weeks off. And to be able to do a project is a wonderful thing for variety, and, you know, it probably breaks up the day-to-day routine. Do you find that you like live performing on stage as well as doing movies, or which is more exciting?
I do. I mean, it's a whole other animal. It's scary because there's no cut. I don't know. You really have to go with it. So, but it's super fun to have the audience energy right there and the feedback right there, especially when it's going well, then it's really good. But it's that's also a lot of work because you really need to be prepared.
Right. Have you done a lot of plays, or is it something new that you started doing?
I did do a number of plays, actually. I produced a couple of plays in L.A., and, yeah, there were some really great ones that I did there, actually. I did this one, Jenny Keeps Talking, a Greenberg play that I produced. That was a real challenge because it was a monologue. It was just me up there. So it was like a one-person show, and that was a real challenge, and it was a tricky language. Also, a lot of humor in a kind of a little more intellectual way, but I love that character. I love that show, actually. That was really fun. I forgot about
that. Do you have any upcoming plays that we can look forward to?
I don't have any upcoming plays, but I will be. My husband's a producer, and I will be in his upcoming project. In fact, he's shooting in Romania, so we'll be going to Romania, Sons of Liberty. So it'll be sometime in December, I think it's supposed to air. So I'll be playing a part in that. It won't be huge, but it'll be a part. it'll be a mini-series, a scripted mini-series on History Channel.
Right. Well, have you ever been to Romania before?
I haven't. I have not.
Wow, that must be
amazing. Up for a movie, actually, that was shooting in Romania years ago, but in the end I didn't get it. So that was my closest I came. But I'll be spending some time there this summer.
Wow. And so you guys, is this a movie that will be coming out when?
I believe it's coming in December. It's going to be a three-night
a series called Sons of Liberty miniseries.
You'll definitely have to come on and tell us all about it right before it comes out. We'll look forward to hearing that for sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
oh, and you do have one fan call that I better put on, April.
Okay, I'm going to close out. I have one final question.
Sure.
In one word or two, if you'd like, how would you describe Sonia personally and professionally?
I'd say adventurous and caring.
I think from our conversation and from the interviews I've heard, that's a very good description. Well, thank you very much for your time. And again, we thank you and look forward to hearing about your upcoming project. Thanks and have
a
great
night. Thank you. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, Paul, we'll put you back on hold. And 678, you on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi. Oh, good.
How are
What's
you doing,
your name?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. Just trying to get over this rain.
Where are you at? Where's the rain?
I'm close to Atlanta. I'm in McDonough, Georgia.
Oh. It might be coming our way. I'm in New York. We've had a couple beautiful days up here. It was a really nice, refreshing change.
So, how's your days been? Did you have Mother's Day?
I had a great Mother's Day. I did. My family made me breakfast, and then I was able to go for a run, and then I was hung out with my kids. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous day, so we were out in the parks with a dog. I have a new puppy, so we spent some time outside
Aww.
With the puppy. And then I went to New Jersey, and we had a nice celebration with my sister and my mom and sort of expanded family. Yeah. Are you a mom? Did you have a nice Mother's Day?
I'm not a mother. I'm not able to have children because of my health, so I spent time with my mom and my grandmother and my nieces and nephews. And
excellent. You're probably, like, the favorite aunt, I could tell.
Yes, and on. So, I mean, I spent time with them and my grandmother and all and spent time. It was nice outside and all, and so it was just nice to spend time with family, like I said.
Yeah, it is.
And the church and all, and spent time with friends and family and all.
I agree. I felt the same way. It was really nice.
Yeah, so I see how you're doing. And have you got any plans for this summer? Any jobs to do this summer?
Well, I will be doing the project that I was just talking about called Sons of Liberty that we're going to be shooting in Romania. So I'm going to Romania for a while. And I'm also, since I'm launching this business, the Motisize fitness business, I'll be working on that in June. And I might be going to L.A. for the National Speakers Convention. So doing a little bit of going around. I might also stop in Florida and see my sister. We'll see. See how much jet setting I can swing.
I miss Florida. I haven't been to Florida in a long time, so it sounds like fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Any good plans for you?
As of right now, I have no idea. I mean, I know it's just whatever happens. I mean, I know me and my mom and dad, they like to go to car shows. So they go to different car shows and stuff, but if they can, they go, and if I can, I go with them. And that's much a vacation for me. Otherwise, they go out and pay bills and... And that's the patient is play the bills or go to the doctor.
Okay. Well, sounds like you're open to possibilities. That's a good place to be, too.
Yeah. Yes, I liked seeing you on Life to Live.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was a fun time.
I didn't watch Guiding Light. I didn't ever watch that. I mean, I watched All My Children and Guiding Light. I mean, I watched All My Children and One Life to Live and General Hospital and all, but I didn't watch.
And it's funny, people were very much network watchers when it came to soaps, because I noticed that, you know, they either watch all the CBS shows or all the ABC shows or all the NBC ones, you know, or occasionally they'd switch from one to another later on in the day or something like that. But, yes, definitely loyal to their network. Because New York isn't really a CBS soap town. So I know when I was on Guiding Light, people... You know, I wasn't stopped as much in New York, some, but not as much. But when I got onto One Life to Live, even though I was on for a shorter time, and people were always like, "You're crazy, you know, what are you doing?" You know, but I got a lot of comments because I think New York is an ABC town, city. And so, yeah, well, no worries. Maybe one day they'll find a way to get all those shows online or something, and you could catch up.
Yeah, we hope. Okay, are you done, Mandy, or do you have any more questions?
That's it. I just wanted to say hey and hope you're doing good now, and it's great seeing you on TV and all, and hope to see you again. And I hope you're doing good.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. You have a good one.
God bless. Thank you. You too.
Okay, I will bring on all the co-hosts to say goodbye. All of you guys all on. So
yes.
Hey.
Cool.
Hey, Sonya. That was actually my girlfriend that just called in and told you.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, she always, we always remember you telling us happy birthday on Facebook when it's her birthdays.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was an honor to interview you, though. It was great to interview you, and, you know, we really appreciate, you know, you coming on the show and everything.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for reaching out. It's been fun to talk to you all tonight. So.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and we hope you can come back.
Yes. I will do. I will absolutely.
Okay, cool. Have a great night. Okay.
Thank you. You too.
Night.
Take care.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
She was great.
Yeah, see what? I'm bringing the love of your life. Oh, well, I was going to bring the love of your life on and get some interesting things about Brian from Brian's girlfriend, but she hung up, darn it. I don't know. I've been in this, I want to do something crazy mood all day. Ever since I went to the dentist, which, you know, now I have three feelings I have to go get, which did not make me happy. And, you know, I prayed to God.
I have a feeling I have to do, too. At the end of the month.
Yeah, but I prayed. You guys, I prayed to God that there would be no cavities. I did it all last night, all day. And God wasn't listening to me, so I was kind of mad at... I wasn't mad at God, but I'm like, come on, now I have to go back to the dentist, God. You know how I don't like that, so I was kind of, you know, mad.
Hey, Carter, she said she's not off the phone.
What?
I knew she said she's still alone.
Whoa, Mandy?
Yeah, she said she's still on. She's not off the phone.
She's off the Smith board.
That's odd. Okay, let me see what's going on.
Okay.
Brian, you did a great job booking. She was a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
I heard you went out to Barbara Walters today. You start at the top, don't you?
Yeah,
That's great.
I sent out a few emails to some representatives of Sarah Michelle Gellar, Bill Crosby, different people trying to get them on. I did talk to Brad Pitt's manager the other day on the phone, and she informed me that Brad Pitt wasn't taking any interviews because he spent most of his time out of the country. And
right.
I contacted Carol Burnett's representative.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you know that, being new, but I did an interview with Jamie Pugh from The Voice, and he was in England.
Uh-huh.
So you can
do
overseas interviews. That's what a phone. That's a wonderful thing about the phone. So
yeah.
re-email her and suggest that. But I admire your go for the top. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'll definitely be there for some Brad Pitt.
I tried.
You get Brad Pitt.
Annie Hathaway. Anne Hathaway's representative.
I hear she does a lot of interviews.
I emailed them, but I haven't heard anything back for Anne Hathaway or let's see who else there was. Bill Cosby. I even went after Betty White and I emailed her representatives, but I haven't heard anything back.
Well, it takes time. You're doing it.
Yeah, it does. That's what I've learned in this crazy business. It takes time. Oh, the guest that I thought we were having on Friday has to reschedule for, like, later in the month. So, but see, the guest. Okay, fine, see.
I wanted to ask them. I know we're not doing the review show until Friday. But I've got to tell you something, because you've been asking me about Spider-Man. When you're done doing what you're doing, can we talk about that movie for a minute? I've got to tell you a funny story you're not going to believe.
Okay,
believe.
I just want to let people know we all have one on Friday. We will be talking about why soaps are not bringing back sex more. We need more sex. We need more mob. We need more killing. We need more violence.
Helen and I have been talking about doing some stuff on my show, some stuff on her show, and we've been talking about doing movie reviews. And so I'm here in North Hollywood, so I'm trying to get the local North Hollywood Theater, which is called the Laramie NoHo 7, and my co-host, Tacky Tacky Tony, as we call him, for my new show, Into the Night. We talked to the corporate office, and they let us go see Spider-Man. And because I told them we're doing a review show, and I'm trying to get them to be on Carly's website as well as ours and do some local promotion. So anyway, I apologize. The dog's in the background. Excuse me, Tony.
Hi, doggy.
I'm doing a show. I'm sorry. That's my Tacky co-host, Tony. I'll bring him on next week if you can handle it. But anyway, let me set the picture. Tony is 58 years old, has loved Spider-Man his whole life, okay? Seen all the Spider-Man comic books. We've been talking about going to see this movie for 2 months, all right? And I loved all the other Spider-Mans. I loved Batman, Superman. I think I even talked about it a couple weeks, right? And so we went to the Laramie Theater. It's beautiful, great theater. We're all standing there, my friend Clark, Tony and I, we went, right? We go to see the movie, and I'm telling you that halfway through the movie, my co-host dumps me and Clark, leaves the movie theater, and I'm like, assuming he went to the bathroom or something. He was so disappointed in this movie, he couldn't even watch it all the way through. And I'm telling you, I hate to say that. I usually try and give Spider-Man's reviews a good review. But this was the worst movie.
Really?
I agree with him. Yes, it was horrible. It was just horrible. But, I mean, hey, if I'm going to a movie, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch the thing. But I'm telling you, they had a little bit picked up towards the end. I love the movie theater. But especially, I mean, it's incredible when you're a fan, the reaction. Here we've got a 60-year-old man who was like a child, who leaves his friends in the movie, and I'm like, where the heck did he go? And I was mad at him. I'm just like, where the hell did you go, right? He's my friend. And the next day I asked him, Tony, why did you walk out on the movie? And he looked at me like a wide-eyed four-year-old and said, it wasn't like Spider-Man. I mean, I never seen a reaction to a movie like that. And I had to agree,
wow.
Vitamins suck. I mean, it's too long and it was boring. And I usually like to give good reviews, but my point of bringing it was just hilarious that someone will actually walk out of a movie. But it made me think of reactions to fans, you know. And they've been drumming up this movie for 2 months. And I'm telling you, it's amazing if a fan, if you have a dedicated fan like this jerk, I mean, this guy is when I say he's tacky, who goes to a movie with somebody to leave? Didn't say goodbye, nothing, just split.
Oh, my God.
He was so disappointed in spite of it.
That's messed up.
But anyway, my point was, I'm excited to do what Carly had suggested, the idea of primetime review. I think it's something different to get different people's opinions and reactions as well as the soaps. But Carly had been asking me how was Spider-Man. Well, Spider-Man was a bust for me on two reasons. One, it was frickin' boring. Two, I got left at the movie theater. I've been waiting to see that movie. Me and my friend Clark stayed. It was boring, but we stayed. But this bozo, my Nicoros, leaves. But I sympathized with him because he was disappointed. He was like a 60-year-old, 5-year-old child going to the movie. We waited 2 months. April is Spider-Man week. And he was so disappointed. I thought about all the children that might go see it. It's not a movie that is for kids. It's more for adults. But anyway, the whole thing was, it's funny, the reactions of the fans. And as reviewers, I never really think as a fan. I think as a reviewer. But my date left me. Sitting there, and me and my best friend Clark, we stayed. But my point was, it's funny the reaction people have to movies. So
yeah,
I'm really
excited. Yeah.
So
I mean,
have you guys ever gone to a movie?
My best friend, one of my best friends I grew up with, walked out. Oh man, he's back on. Okay, walked out of. Oh my God, you know the Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez movie?
Oh,
she
I remember that movie.
Yeah, she walked out of it. But I stayed because, you know, I just wanted to see. Yeah, it was a train wreck.
Yeah.
I
spent all that money.
We paid for the movie, and we got complimentary. Tony and I got complimentary passes for being reviewers. I'm staying. It's 100 degrees and I'm staying. But it's funny. I think promoters, they show the best 3 minutes, and in a 2-hour movie, it's really kind of misleading. And again, I don't usually dog movies, but this one, I would give 2 thumbs down. I'm telling you, it emotionally ruined my whole evening because. Man, I never had anybody in my whole life leave me in a movie theater. I mean, so my point was, I'm excited for us to start reviewing movies because I try and be positive. And again, there were some good moments, but really, it did not hold my attention. So, if you guys are going to go see it because you had asked me, I wouldn't waste the money. Just wait till it comes out on DVD. But I'm excited to start reviewing our movies.
But thank you for letting me know because I was going to take my, nephew to when he comes.
No, don't.
And I thought maybe, but if you say it's
April
not for kids.
No, it's not really for kids, and it's boring. It's too long, and it's boring. And I'm really a positive reviewer, but this, if I had paid for the ticket, I wish they could give me my money back. It ruined my whole evening. My new co-host and I got in a big old fight because, I mean, the business just left me at the movie. Me and my friend were sitting there not knowing what happened. He is such an avid fan. He was so disappointed. So anyway, it's going to be interesting when we all go see different movies to see our reactions. So I'm looking forward to your new review segment of reviewing primetime and movies. So I'm excited to
Well,
see
yeah,
that.
But do I need to kick you at the co-host but for leaving you? Because I'd be happy to. You know how I love violence, you know.
Right.
I will, like, kick him and say.
When was it? The other night, I went to go see Nonstop with Liam Neeson.
Oh, go see that. It's wonderful. Nonstop is
great.
Yes,
it is such a good movie. I just went to go see it with my boyfriend. What's Her Face was on the show the other night. So I talked. That was why I was the first one on. So I was, like, literally getting ready as I was talking to her to walk out the door.
Did you enjoy it? Were you on the edge of your seat
I loved it. My boyfriend picked it out, and of course, he's all about, like, action movies because, and I'm like, okay, whatever.
But I would, seriously, I enjoyed it. But I'm, like, more of, like, Guts and Glory and, like, that, you know, that kind of movies.
But, oh, by the way, we are still, but we are going into overtime. But you guys have to go see The Other Woman. I am telling you, that movie, too, made me laugh, cry, almost pee my pants. It was, like, the comedy movie of the year.
Well, I have to go see that one. But
yeah,
I wanted to ask you, did you feel the nonstop? Were you on the edge of your seat as to who did it?
Yes, I was. Like, the whole time.
Yeah.
And, like, at the end, like, I'm always good about guessing who it is. And when they showed who it was, I was like,
right.
Because I wasn't even expecting it. I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, I looked at my boyfriend, I was like, he was like, oh, my God. Wow.
Right.
I wasn't expecting it.
Right. That's a movie I'd recommend going to see. That Liam Neeson always does wonderful movies.
It kept you guessing. It kept you guessing, like, the whole time. Like, you thought the people that were saved, and then you're, like, second-guessing yourself. Like, are they part of it? Is she part of it? You know, and it's she's been here the whole time.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, my God. It was crazy.
That's for sure.
Oh, my God.
You know, the one thing I am looking forward to, you know, I'm sad that all, you know, primetime shows are going off air because, you know, it's almost summer, but in a good way because I can finally catch up on them. I have no time. If anyone tells me what's been happening for the last 3 weeks on Grey's Anatomy, I will kill them. I don't want to know. I haven't watched it yet. I will kill them, and I won't feel bad for their death.
How have you been known and been on Twitter? Like, I had a voice
I kind of don't pay attention to, like, when, like, someone talking about it, so I just bypass it.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to stay off of Twitter because I haven't seen Revenge season finale, and I was doing something else, and I was like, oh, my God, I still need to watch it. So.
Well, I left Twitter already again. I hate Twitter.
Brian, you
got to
get Twitter, dude. You
got to
get Twitter.
Why? Why?
I just don't have Twitter. I had it for a long time, and I had interactions with a few celebrities on there, not many. And I'm not good at the whole Twitter thing with tweeting and stuff and all that stuff. And I'm better with the Facebook thing and the Instagram, but. The Twitter, no, I'm terrible at the tweeting thing, Twitter thing.
Oh, I love tweeting.
I love your accent.
I'm addicted to tweeting. Ask those two sisters. Yeah, April can tell you. I can tweet, but then Cecilia can tell you. I can Twitter and piss people off at the same time. I am talented in that department. I can say whatever. Why partner in crime?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have an extra account. Like, I have a backup account because I used to get thrown in Twitter jail, like, all the time. In the middle of, like, conversations. Like, I'm battling these people left and right. Some of these soap fans left and right. And then it's like, you're in jail. I'm like,
shit. Right.
I got in Twitter jail the other night. I wasn't doing anything obnoxious. I was just shocking.
It's when you post. You only get so many posts a day.
Oh, well, I know.
Or so
and
many
I was
tweets
like,
a day.
And I was doing my Victorian cyst love. How much I love Victorian cyst. I kept saying over and over. And I kept saying things. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in Twitter jail. How did that happen?
That happens to me a lot.
You know,
when it comes to Facebook, I'll be honest with you, I've been in trouble with Facebook I don't know how many times, and I send out requests to people that I
me
know.
Me too.
Like, and then it comes back and it says, you've been blocked for 7 days and sent an interview request. And then
I
do it again and it says, you've been blocked for 30 days.
Yeah,
and it says, you can't get
over.
Okay,
I was just blocked.
Those people on Facebook on a wheel, we have soap opera pages that they're fictitious characters. We're doing it for promotion, so how the hell can we know them when they're not real? Makes no sense.
Exactly, and another thing, too, is
it's freaking stupid. It's freaking stupid. I get blocked all the time.
And I don't know if, and you know, I've tried sending requests out to Laura Wright and Steve Burton. I mean, Steve Burton and I don't know. You know, I don't know if they're real or not, but I know after I sent them out, I've got this. You don't know. You're blocked. You know.
Right. But it's like, hello, we're radio hosts. Obviously, Bo Brady, Luke Spencer are not real. They're fictitious
characters
that promote the show. It's like, hello, look who you're talking about. It's public figure. It's different than family and friends. But we can bitch about Facebook another day. But anyway, Carla, I had a great time tonight. You had a wonderful show, and you got the greatest new co-host. And Brian, if not only can you be a radio host, you might be trying to look for a job in PR. You're really good.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
You really are.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
So
how did you feel when you got your first booking?
I feel pretty good. I mean, I was actually surprised by it. I mean, she approached me and she said, you know, that sounds great. Give me a call. Let's talk it over. And so, you know, I gave her a call, talked with her, and she said, sounds good. And so, I mean, it actually surprised me, you know. But I've been trying. Me and
you're very passionate about it.
Me and Kelly double teamed Ian Buchanan the other night, but we couldn't get a word out of him, so we didn't have no luck.
So I know how Brian feels that when I booked my first guest, I mean, it's like, I love booking as much as I do interviewing. And when the first star replied to me and called me, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'll never forget that feeling as I live. I mean, there's nothing like it. And interviewing is a wonderful thing. But so is, you know, booking guests, and they call you and you talk to them. I love promotions and booking as much as I do interviewing. That's
I love them. And, you know, I can be funny when I'm booking. I'm like, come on, please.
Oh, I love your style. You get great people.
Please.
I gotta tell y'all something funny that happened the other day. I was on Facebook, and I was trying, you know, me and Sylvia was talking to supposedly Ian Buchanan, was on my buddy list, and I was talking to him in a private, tried to talk to him in private chat. He wouldn't say nothing. So I saw the button that said free call. And I thought when I pressed it, it was just going to say, you know, if you'd like, it was going to say standard rates would apply. Well, I pressed free call, and instead it called him, and then I hung up real quick. I'm sorry to call you. I actually hit the button, but he still didn't say nothing, so I don't know if it's him or not.
Right. Well, most of the stars on the free call, they don't have it, but some do. So you never know. Well, Carly, you've got a good new ensemble. I think your show's going to do
great.
Our show's going to do very
great.
Well.
You know who I wanted to go after so bad, but both Let's Go Back in Time and Lisa Bernard. Yes. Okay, you guys, I want us to become, I will say the word off air so I won't get in trouble, but I won this guy. I won this guy.
I want Maurice Bernard, too. Carly and I have agreed to share him, if you can get him for her show, we'll both co-host, or if we can get him for mine, we'll both.
April and I have agreed if one of us gets one and the other one, we will talk to the other one, too, so...
Yes, and we're
going
to try and do double
backstabbing on this show.
No. We're both going to promote everything that we do on both shows.
Yeah, I mean,
because we all do it differently and have a great time. And I definitely want you and Brian to join my show, too, on occasion and call in whenever you guys want to. Definitely, Brian.
Talk about shows.
And Carly, love you.
April.
I'd love to use you for booking, too.
Exactly.
April, talking about shows, when does yours come back on? When does yours
I'm hoping
come
to get
on,
it on
April?
By the end of the month. to do my first show. And then my show into the night is hopefully going to come back in June. So, but as I told Carly, Carly and I have discussed it, and we're going to be promoting both shows. Cause, you know,
yeah,
all shows outside and different, and I want you guys to come on and co-host, and we're going to go back and forth. And so I think it'll be fun if you guys are all on board to that. You know, we all love to do what we do, and
exactly,
we all have our own style and way. And so I'm going to keep going on the show as long as Carly wants me to, and I hope you guys will join me whenever you have a free time on my show as well.
If you leave, you will end up like Nick, just telling you. If any of you leave, you will end up like Nick on Dave, just so all of you know now, and Nick is dead as a toenail by now, so,
I bet you $100, Carly, a year from today, he's back alive on the show.
I will take that.
They need him. They need evil now that EJ's leaving, that James Goss is leaving. They need more, you know, devious people like him. So I could be wrong, but I think he'll be back in 6 months to a year.
Let me throw this in real quick,
Carter. I wanted to tell y'all something I found interesting was I noticed Peter Rackle that played Bo Brady is actually on the web series The Venus now.
Yes, yes, he is.
Yeah.
And that's another one I'd love to get. Brian, if you want to go for him, I'm going for him for both shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
I'd love to offer Christian Alfonso her and Bo to come on together.
Well, for you, Brian, and for you, April, I thank you for joining the craziness.
Well, I enjoy every moment of it.
No,
yeah,
because,
it's really neat.
You know,
well, it helps me. It helps me because some Friday nights, I am a single mom on Fridays, and I do have a wife.
Right.
So when I have chances to go out.
But I have forbid you to have a life on Friday night, my partner in crime. Remember,
I look forward to it.
What?
But, yes, I can't get on or whatever. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but before I forget you guys, okay, what was the best part of the Nooses Ball for you guys? Did anything stand out for you?
I know what the women's response is going to be. The Milo dance. Let's see, my response.
I already said it. Magic Milo.
Probably Cameron and Emma and Spencer, where Spencer, hired Ron Moss's band, and he said, Emma, come back.
That was so good, but also I think Lori Kruth kicked it out of the park.
Oh, yes, he did good.
You know, I love that song, and yeah.
Also, Kiki, she did good.
Yeah, I had to take a cold shower. I can't believe I'm saying this on air, but I've said so much on air, so why not? I had to take a cold shower after watching Magic Milo, because I kept rewinding it, and I'm like, okay, this, you know. So, of course, I'm saving all the Nooses Ball episodes that I wish.
I love them all.
Yeah. No, I mean, because my TV from last year I upgraded, so I don't have the Nooses Ball from last year. Well, you know, my
it's
boyfriend.
On YouTube.
Oh, it is?
On
okay.
YouTube.
You know, my boyfriend.
What,
you know.
I'm like, hello, everything's on YouTube. Where do you think I can watch all my old shows?
One other thing I want to bring up about the Nooses Ball, and I think, and I got really ticked off at GH for doing this. Whenever they said that Batty was there, which is John Stamos, and everybody goes to commercial and comes back home, and they say he's not there, that ticked me off. I was like, that's
I hear you. I hear you.
As long as Austin played Blackie. I didn't care.
Was Ron Moss just on there for that day or is he coming
Blackie.
Back?
Yeah. I don't know why I said Batty. I meant Blackie.
But he's not coming back for like anymore,
no,
is he?
He's just there with his band for the
day. Okay, because because I was trying to figure out, okay, if he is there, who in the hell is he going to play, excuse my language, because there's, you know, there are so many people on the canvas right now. How can they add one more guy on there?
Yeah, they don't use half of the people that they have. That is.
You know, but
Carly,
I'm...
Mandy said, did you know she's owned?
Mandy, you can talk.
Right. Well, I liked all of the nurses' ball. I thought it was very interesting, and I love everyone each year, and I think it's wonderful they do that to promote AIDS awareness and donate to AIDS charity.
Yeah,
well, you know, and they brought it back, you know, after their hiatus.
Thank goodness.
You know,
yeah, I know they had budget cuts
for whatever reason. You know, I hate it when they took it off, you know, for whatever reason.
Well,
I heard it was budget cuts and blah, blah, blah.
I think it's so popular that I think it will be back next year. I mean, it kind of has to, you know, because people look forward to it. And
one of the theme parks was stupid.
Right.
What part was stupid?
I mean, it's in Miami, I do want to keep, but I mean, some parts of this is like, I couldn't help but keep looking at, like, the men dancing.
Right.
I love that.
That was my favorite. Magic Mile.
Oh, me too.
I love the epiphany.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it needed to be more naked. And also, I would, I did feel sorry for Lucy. I'm sorry. I love Lucy. I've always loved Lynn Herring.
Oh, me too.
I'm like, oh,
she's on Twitter, by the way, for everybody that's listening.
Anybody
listening,
I love Lucy too.
Yeah, she could be coming on the show any day now. That's all I'm going to say.
Great.
You know, but.
Work it, baby. Work it.
Exactly. And, you know, but, I mean, am I on Team Kevin or Team Scotty right now? I don't know. Because I can
see. I'm
Team
Kevin.
I'm on Team Kevin. Scott Baldwin.
I love Scott Baldwin. He just drives me nuts. He's always driving me nuts, so.
Well, but
come
I've always loved the chemistry that Lynn Herring and Ken Spiner always had.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I've always loved that. I know a lot of people may not have. And, and tomorrow, remember, it might be a sad day in America or either a happy day in America. Whatever people look at it, is Barbara Walters' second to the last final appearance on
The
View.
Oh, I know. Everybody's
got to
watch that.
Oh,
that's
going to
be sad.
All 11 co-hosts, so,
right.
So we seem real crazy on here. I just want to see
how... Well, I love your show. Our show.
I know. But I just want to see how crazy it will be on, you know, The View with so many co-hosts. And are they going to, you know, will Rosie and Elizabeth punch each other before the end of the show? Hey,
I know, we'll
I'm on Team Elizabeth, so come on. Elizabeth finally punched Rosie out, you know, whoops.
Right.
I would love to have Elizabeth Hassler back on here. I would, you know, because I'm in love with her brother-in-law, too.
Aren't you in love with
him,
Doctor? How many people are you in love with, Riley?
You know, I could become the radio host who's a slut, really, because I know.
Hey,
I mean,
the expression, let's get back to 11 in the afternoon. That's what they say on soaps, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, if I had all my sexy guys on one show by now, like if we could get Christophe Cezanne, Sith from Y&R, EJ from Days, Grady from Days, Sunny from General Hospital, Luke from General Hospital,
yes.
Dylan from Y&R, You know, I could just die a happy person. I mean, all the ones,
I
mean. I
think that's why women get into soap, daytime fantasies. And you know, when love is lacking in your own life, hey, why don't you go live it for an hour or two a day? And that's why they say, let's get back to love it in the afternoon. And I
know
my own love life is lacking. I love to watch soap operas or good movies because it fills up the void that, you know, when you're, you know what I mean, kind of lights your fire to go off to another place for an hour or two. That I definitely liked your, what did you say, you're going to become the slut of the radio host?
Yes, I am, because people know that I'm in love with Christoph St. John. People know that. But since I have my new crush, Sis from YNO, he's like my new crush, like, I don't think my TiVo's going to be able to hold any more episodes of him just by himself. And I still have episodes of Billy Miller because I had a crush on him.
I will tell you, I'm in love with Bernice Bernard, so he's mine. If he's available and he's willing to leave his wife and children, hey, I'm here. I'm in North Hollywood. Let's go. I love Maurice Bernard.
So, you know, if we ever get Maurice Bernard on this show, I'm sure that the switchboard would probably tear up and blow up
with so many
dollars.
Yeah. But we'll also say that April G. Reviews is joking, but I do love Maurice Bernard. I love the character of Sonny Corinthos. And I also admire Maurice Bernard as a man. He's been happily married for 23 years, has three great children. But my all-time daytime fantasy for years. I thank him for that. He really made some afternoons when I was depressed or down quite wonderful. And that's why I love that saying, let's get back to loving in the afternoon. And that's why I'm happy to be back on air, because when my own love life is boring, I escape to another world, as they used to say. You know, you can go fantasize about EJ or Stefano or whoever the case may be. And that's what it's about.
He played out his disease on the show, and, you know, he makes awareness for bipolar and stuff. And awesome.
And by the way, April, sorry to correct you, but he has four kids because, remember, he adopted his sister's, you know, his wife's sister. He did adopt her because wife's mom, okay.
He's a wonderful person. And we all know Maurice Bernard is happily married, but I'm in love with Sonny Corinthos, so I think that's a different thing, you know. But I've always been in love with him. I used to be in love with Eric.
No matter what Sonny does,
love Sonny no matter what he does.
If he blows up the whole town, I'm okay with it. If he kills a couple of them,
Sonny can do whatever he wants to. But you know what's funny? People often ask me, as a soap reviewer and a fan, I have trouble because as a soap reviewer, I see the writer's side. But as a fan, I think I'm more adamant as a fan. And that's when I try and write and talk about things as a fan. And I've kind of been out of the ball game, as you guys know, for about a year. So I'm getting back into it. And I remember, I love being a fan first. That's why I became an interviewer, because it's the most wonderful job in the world to get to interview people that you watch on TV or you listen to. And, you know, that's why I love doing what we do, and I thank you, Carly, for letting me do it on your show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is fun. This is not always so serious, but, you know, and people, be careful when you read soap magazines, okay? Spoilers doesn't mean everything.
Right.
If you read a spoiler, don't freak out. Don't think, oh my God, it's absolutely going to happen, because 50% of the time, you're just to sell magazines.
Right.
You know, that's why I have a little bone to pick with ABC Soaps and Dep guy with the Sims. Yes, I went there.
Right.
I named names. But, you know, back in the day when Zay Sam and Maison were the two couples people were fighting over, that magazine picked Zay Sam. They never wrote anything nice about, you know, Jason and Liz. And I have a problem with that. I'm like, okay, if you're going to put these two couples in a fan mode like it was, then please, write about both. Don't just pick your favorite. And that always made me mad at the show magazine. They never gave EJ and Sammy the credit they deserved.
Hey,
either.
I really
feel.
Did. So, Charlie, can I ask you a favor? I'm going to ask you on air, so you got to say yes.
Oh, okay.
How brave are you?
What?
How brave are you?
I'm kind of brave.
Well, you know, we talked about, you know, talking about the movies of the month or whatever, and I would love to, like I said, you seem to not mind, you don't mind swearing on your show, right?
Of course not.
Okay, well, I want to, and I thought, well, hey, you know, we're on your show, let's test him out, see how he does. I would love, just for the movie review, I would love, Tony just dying to get on air and talk about his experience as a fan and a reviewer of Spider-Man. And I honestly, I apologize in advance for my new co-host. I care about him very much so, but I wouldn't believe this fan if I had been it myself. And when I say there's no one like him, he's attacking. I mean, he says it like it is, which is a good thing. But he is so passionate about Spider-Man and his reaction, I feel I lost him to therapy for him to get it out. I mean, this man was just, I've never seen anything. So could we give him 5 minutes, maybe on Friday, to come on and tell us how he feels about Spider-Man?
Yeah. Would that be okay? Give him 10.
Right. But again, I apologize in advance because he's very passionate, which is a good thing, but he does like to use the F word. Is that okay if he uses the F word? I'll try and not make him use the F word, but you've got to hear this man's emotional impact over Spider-Man. You know?
Yeah,
and
go
so,
for it.
Can you join us on Friday just for that segment?
Yeah. Hey, Mandy. Oh, okay. No, it wasn't a Mandy. My opponent of crime. No, opponent of Mandy. Yeah. Brian, that's okay with you.
This man.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mandy.
I'm just a co-host. You're the host, Carl. So, I mean, it should be your say-so, not mine.
Yeah. Well, he's so adamant about it, and my whole night was ruined because of the experience. So I wanted to go on air and get it out so we can move on, because I've never had an escort that left halfway through the movie, so yeah. I feel he needs it. I mean, it's a different type of reviewing, but he's also a passionate fan, and that's what it's about. And give him some practice.
Yeah.
And believe me, you've never heard anything like it. This man is Ralph Cramden, Fred Flintstone, George Jefferson, and Archie Bunker all in one. And so anyway, I want to give him a little airtime, if that would be okay with you, Carly, on Friday for maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, of course.
But you might want to put adult content and pre-warn your viewers ahead of time. That's what I do. I say, I'm sorry, but the world's got to see this. So I wouldn't believe this if I wouldn't have seen it. And so anyway, thank you for letting us join, and we'll bring him on with you on Friday, okay?
Yeah, of course. You tell him anytime, but
Carly, what happened to so-and-so that's going to be on here Friday from GA?
They had to go out of town, but they will be back.
Right.
Yeah, but Steve will. April knows who I'm talking about, so.
Right.
I know who you're talking about, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I don't remember what co-host I tell things anymore, too. I have three of you. So my brain is, like, gone. But, Mandy, we want to know, what kind of a boyfriend is Brian? We want to know everything about Brian.
Give us a 411, girl.
He's the best boyfriend I've ever had.
I would believe that, because, you know, he's such a gentleman. I would believe that. Passionate, and both Cecilia and you guys, and just in the 3 or 4 shows we've done, oh my gosh, your passion, your interviewing skills are amazing. I love it. That's why I want to continue being a part of it, because, I mean, every week you guys are catching on click, and Brian is becoming I pride myself on being a good booker, but I was very impressed when I heard that you've gone after the caliber of guests you've gone after. So Carly's very lucky, and we're very lucky to have you on our team. The combo here.
And
thank
Mandy,
you
all, Mandy, you are so welcome to always call in, you know, for the craziness.
Maybe your boyfriend can run up on Tacky Tony and he can get some manners. You're so polite and sweet. I think that's an amazing quality. You're a lucky girl.
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, we are stealing your boyfriend 2 days a week sometimes, so thank you for that, because, you know, most girlfriends would probably kill all of us, because Cecilia and I can get bad. We can get crazy and wild, And we can, like, load that. And we have. We've lost it on
well,
the
I think
before.
It's a lot of fun. And you guys, you know, you guys are partners in crime. And I thank you for letting Brian and me be partners in crime. And so I look forward to our next show. Listen, I'm starving to death, Carly. I enjoy talking
oh,
to you so much. And I'm hungry. Would it be all right if I say goodnight to everybody? I haven't
yeah,
eaten.
Yeah, it would. And Brian, when you have a chance, can you Facebook and thank everyone on Facebook for calling in and all that tonight?
That would be great. Thank you,
Brian,
guys.
Can...
Thank you, Cecilia. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Carly.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys on Friday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm
calling
if I can.
Manny, Brian hung up.
Brian hung up?
All right,
yeah,
Carly,
yeah.
I've got to go, so thank you.
Okay, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
we'll see
no
you guys on Friday. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Good night, Carly. Good night, Brian.
As much as I
Manny,
can,
could you
right,
ask,
thank you.
Bye. Can you ask Brian if he has a chance tonight to go on Facebook and just thank everyone for calling in and everything?
Call in and all?
I know. His stupid phone cut him off. Okay. Well, it's time to go and come back on Friday night, and Mandy, come back on Friday night, too.
I sure will. If
okay,
I
have a good night, everyone.
You
bye.
Too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.